for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday morning service, July the 4th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the morning.
I mean, enjoy the meetings. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you today, Lord, for allowing us to come together. Lord, we believe you've brought us here in your will. And Father, we thank you for all the meetings, all the teachings, Lord, that we've had. Lord, the deliverance, the healings, and all that you've done in the midst, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your people that's here. They're the sheep of your pasture. They don't belong to man. They belong to you. And I thank you today, Lord. We're under your covering and under your headship. And we thank you for each one. Father, bless this word as we share today. God, give us wisdom and direction by the Holy Spirit. Lord, without you, I'm nothing. I can do nothing apart from you. I submit to you. You're the teacher. Let the teacher teach today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise God. You can be seated. May the Lord bless you. Real good. Praise God. Mildred asked me this morning what I was going to teach on, and I didn't tell her because I wasn't for sure. But sometimes the Lord changes things on us.
Amen.
And sometimes he lets us go with what, we think we should share. I had a word yesterday morning, and of course Jack shared, and I said, well, the Lord wants me to share it today, so he's probably changed the message, in which he did. Let me know God's a God of change. Amen?
Amen?
In our lives. Praise the Lord. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24 and begin to look at some scriptures today. I appreciate all the ministries that's been in the meeting, that's here today. And I think each one has a message from the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me know God is a God of diversity. He moves differently, speaks differently through different ones, and we need to hear all the ministries that God is raising up in this hour. Apostles and prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Chapter 24. Look with me, please, in verse 11. Scripture said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive. How many?
Many.
Notice, many false prophets will deceive many. I mean, know that a false prophet has a false spirit. You know that? Well, let me show it to you. Just hold your place and go to Matthew 7. Let's look at this today. Matthew 7. Praise God. Matthew 7. Now, if there's false prophets, that means there's also what? Come on. True prophets. And many false prophets at one time have been true prophets. They've left the realm of the spirit, come on, for the flesh. Isn't that right? And so, it is true, many false prophets who are false today at one time started out right with God and were called to be true prophets of God. Look at Balaam. Balaam was a true prophet, wasn't he? And he got off. He got off because of divination, because of the occult power, and because he had a love for money more than he did for the Lord. But here in chapter 7 now of Matthew, look at verse 13. Enter you in at the straight gate. For wide's the gate, broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Notice, many are going on the broad road. Because straight's the gate, narrow's the way which leads to life, and few there be, come on, that find it. Many are called, but only few are chosen. Isn't that right? And there's a few. There is a remnant that's going to enter life. And I don't mean just being born again, but I mean coming into the fullness of life. Amen? Into the holy place, into the holy of holies. God, into that hundredfold. There's a few. There is a remnant that will enter that realm. But what's keeping people out? Look at the next verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in, come on, sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, right? But how many know that a wolf can't grow wool? Amen. And he still looks like a wolf, even though he's got sheep's clothing on. He still smells like one, I should say. He's got deceptive tracks. And how many know that he's a counterfeit?
Amen.
Now, look at this verse. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, notice, inside, inwardly, they are ravening wolves, so they have a false spirit. There is a falseness to false prophets. Praise God. Amen. Now, there's somebody here needs healing right down in your right ankle area, up in the leg area. Somebody stand to your feet. Who is who's having problems in the right leg, right ankle? Just stand right up. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take dominion over that in Jesus' name. Just reach your hands out. I take dominion over that in Jesus' name, over those ankles and those feet and those legs right now, Father. And I ask the power of the living God to heal our sisters right now. We thank you, Jesus. You're their healer, and we thank you for healing them. Amen. Let's give him praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he's our healer today. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be well. And so we see they have a false spirit. Now, how many know that a false prophet will not always meet up head on with seasoned ministries? But they go many times to the weak, amen, and to the young. And what do they do? How many know they get them aside and they put their venom or their poison or inject it into them, I should say.
A
parking lot, that's right, or in the back room or someplace, and then impart that poison to the young ones. And then you know what the young ones do? They attack true leadership. How many has ever seen that?
Yes.
Amen? And so we have to be aware, brethren, today. There are false prophets in America. There are false prophets in the world. There's false prophets around us today, and we have to be careful about it. Praise God. So, but again, even though there's false, there's also the true. Let's go back to Matthew 24 now. Matthew 24. How many know that we have to be careful what we hear? We have to be careful what we hear. Isn't that right? Amen? Wanda and I were in a meeting one time, and this person was there speaking, and everybody, you know, they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. But I'll tell you, she had a big Jezebel that nobody detected in that particular meeting. It grieved my heart to see that. I think of another evangelist one time. He was talking about in a meeting and how that things were going on in the meeting. Everybody was really rocking, you know, and receiving and eating everything up. And he looked at his wife and he said, God's not in this place. I mean, no, that's dangerous. Come on, if we get to that place and can't discern something. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to hear truth, but we need to recognize truth, amen, from error. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I mean, know that when a person is speaking, many times they may say the right things, the right words, amen, the right cliches. But how many know there is a spirit that's with a person who's ministering? What if, for instance, there was a church in Tulsa many years ago, and the leader fell into adultery. Okay, they sang on the radio, had a beautiful ministry, him and his wife. But did you know what happened? That spirit went throughout that whole church, and many fell into the same spirit. You know why? Because they opened up to that man, and that spirit that was in that man was imparted to them. I mean, no impartation is real, both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Amen? And I don't know about you, but I know that the impartation can come many ways, not just on the laying of hands. But the Lord says, lay hands suddenly on, come on,
no man.
Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself, come on, pure. There is a laying on of hands that we have to be careful about, especially even in ordination, calling people, I mean, the people coming into the ministry or deaconism or whatever. But just laying hands on people. I don't like people come up and lay hands on me suddenly. Anybody here like that? I'm not against laying out of hands. Please understand that. I don't like anybody to rush up and... many times it happens to me when I finish ministering. Somebody comes up and lays hands on me. I don't like that because I've been hit at times. I mean, you know, when you immediately get a headache, something's wrong. How many has ever had that happen to them? Huh? Certainly. I have it many times. I've had people lay hands on me and every bone in my body ache for a period of time. One man who had an Indian spirit. He laid hands upon me and he put it on my head. I don't like anybody touching my head unless I know the person. And I got a headache, but all this thing went through my body. My bones ache. It took me weeks to get that thing off of me. And so I don't like people quickly laying hands on me, okay? I shouldn't lay hands too quick on people. But you know, I mean, no, you can get hit by laying hands on people too. The person laying hands on the person can get hit. Anybody ever had that experience? Yes, sir. It's happened to me a couple of times, too. I remember one time right here, I had a line. I was praying for someone, and when I touched that person, I got hit. I got hit right in my arm. And then I was thinking of another situation in Michigan. And so we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. Not fearful, but we can't be gullible. All right, back in Matthew 24. And how many know we need discerning of spirits today, brethren? We need to see some things. How many know it's time not just to hear, but see some things? First time I ever saw the Jezebel spirit, I was praying for a person, and I saw this. And of course, we're not against the people, but we're against those spirits. Isn't that right? And I saw this spirit go right over the top of her head, and we prayed, and this person just fell out and began to foam at the mouth. And I remember I was staying in a minister's house one night in Texas, and I, right in the middle of the night, I woke up and I saw right in front of me up high, I saw the Jezebel spirit right over my bed. Of course, I rebuked it. I went to Iceland. There was a snake come out of the ceiling as I laid on this bed, came right out of that ceiling, and it was a long snake, about so big, and had beady eyes, red beady eyes, and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and it left. I was in a place, Bill and I were in a place ministering in Oklahoma, and I was laying there in the bed. It seemed like it all happens in the bed, but I was laying in this bed, and the window was open. It was summertime and hot, and all of a sudden I looked up and I saw this demon shoot right through the window, went right through the house, just as fast as it could go. Let me know that we need, again, I don't want to just see demons, I want to see good things too. How about you?
Amen?
Amen? But if you're going to see one, you're going to see the other. And then I went to Illinois once ministering. And we were in a conference, and Wanda and I were sleeping in a bedroom, and of course you couldn't, the living room was on the other side, and you couldn't see through there because there was a wall. And I woke up in the night, and I saw this spirit standing by this window there, and so I just went on back to sleep. I didn't even rebuke it at that time. I just went on back to sleep. And then I woke back up, and I saw him standing there again. I took authority over him. He left. And I asked the minister the next day, I said, why was that spirit permitted to be in this house where I'm at? And he said a lady, a Red Cross lady, had brought some tapes in right in that spot, and it was occult tapes. And that there was permission for that spirit to come in there because of those tapes. How many know we have to be careful what we bring into the house of God and in our houses?
Yes, sir.
And in this house? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Jesus said something here now again. In verse 11, many false prophets shall arise, shall deceive many. And because lawlessness shall abound or be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, notice, because of false prophets, lawlessness is going to abound, and those who had once been hot becomes cold. Those who had walked in love, we would say now, are haters. Because they've been under the ministry of false prophets. I mean, it's good to judge our hearts at times. It's good to look inwardly. And just say, Lord, have I lost that love of God? Come on, amen? Am I still on fire for the Lord? Am I still a hot Christian? Amen? Like I used to be. Well, how many know maybe we've been affected by someone? Come on, some ministry or some false prophet. Can you say amen? So we have to be cautious. We have to be careful. Every one of us today. Praise God. Now, I want to look at some scriptures now. Let's go to Matthew 24:24 here again. Same chapter. And notice Jesus said, in verse 24, I think Brother touched on this last night. There shall arise false Christs or false anointings and false prophets who has a false spirit and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, these false Christs, these false anointings and false prophets shall deceive, come on, the very elect. If possible. That's right. If possible. And so, the devil wants to deceive the elect, doesn't he? Come on now. He wants to deceive God's elect. But he said, if possible, through false signs and miracles. Now, let's don't stop there. Look at verse 25. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now look at the next verse. Here are these false prophets and these false Christs in verse 28. This is not a rapture in verse 28. For whithersoever the carcass is, and that's a dead carcass, there will the eagles, but a better translation, I believe, is vultures. There the vultures will be gathered together. I mean, those spirits link up. Death links up with death. Come on, amen? Yes, sir. This is a dead body. This is those false prophets that we're talking about. Now, let's go over to another scripture. Go to Revelation 11, 13. Praise God. Revelation 13. And look at verse 11. Now, John saw the beast coming up out of the sea, didn't he? Out of humanity. And here John sees another beast, the second beast. And this beast is a counterfeit to the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of counterfeits to the Holy Spirit, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Anybody's ever seen any counterfeits? All right. Verse 11. Behold, another beast coming up, he says, out of the earth, the carnal realm, and he had two horns like a lamb. Let me ask you something. Does a lamb have two horns? So it's a counterfeit, isn't it? It's a deceiver. And notice he speaks like a dragon. He's got dragon breath. And verse 12, I want you to notice what this false prophet ministry does. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. He has the same power as the beast himself. I mean, the Holy Spirit has the same power as Jesus. Amen? All right, secondly, something else. And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. The Holy Spirit, come on, points men to Jesus, and we worship him. Amen? Whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Well, how many know the Holy Spirit's not a show-off? Now, he does wonders and signs and miracles as he's directed, but he doesn't do it just to show off. Amen? Praise God. And I believe in the supernatural, don't you? But also with the supernatural, how many, there's a counterfeit, there's a false as well. Amen? On both sides. Negative and positive. But he does great wonders that he makes fire come down from heaven. Now, I don't believe this false prophet ministry is just one man. I believe that many that's going to be in this false prophet ministry at one time have been true men and women of God. Are you hearing me? It's a religious system. And how many know today the greatest threat to you and I is a religious system? Persecution is coming from the religious system. Now, let's look at this. Hold your place. Go to John 16. John 16. Hallelujah. In verse 2, Jesus said, and this is, he was speaking to his apostles, but it happens to people today too. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogues, out of the churches. Anybody ever been kicked out of the church? Oh, there's a few hands. Praise God. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you, and how many know you can kill people with your words as well, will think that he doeth God service. Oh, we're doing this for God. How many know people can kill you with the Bible too? And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father, come on, nor me. But these things I have told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said not to you at the beginning because I was with you. So Jesus said there were those that will literally kill you. Praise God. So back here in Revelation 13, we see now that this false prophet, verse 14, he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles that he has power to do in the sight of the beast. Well, the Holy Spirit is no... He himself does miracles, but he does not deceive. He is the Spirit of truth. And then it says in verse 14, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. And the Holy Spirit is giving us power to come into the very image of Jesus himself. How many believe that? Amen. How many want to come into the image of Jesus? The likeness of Jesus. We know it's a process. We know it's happening now in our life. And he said in verse 15, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And of course, the Holy Spirit is giving us that power to come into that image, but he's not killing us. He's giving us life. Come on, amen. He's giving us life. He is life. Praise God. He is life. Now, look in chapter 13 also. Look down with me here in verse, what, 3 or 3? Look in verse 3. How many know that we see that beast out there in that world everywhere? But how many know we fail many times to see it right in the church? Huh? How many know there's a beast in us that we got to overcome as well as out there? Now, you'll notice here in verse 3, it says, after the devil gives the beast his power, seat, and authority, I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. You know, people, The old teaching is, they say, well, Antichrist rises and they're going to, he's going to die and then he's going to resurrect from the dead. No, it says one of his heads. Well, how many heads did he have? He had seven heads. And I'm not going to teach that, but I could go into it and teach it. Seven heads, and one of the heads was wounded, okay? It didn't say he was wounded, it said one of the heads was wounded. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, which it was. And all the world wondered after the beast. You see that word wondered? Literally, it means they went insane. It's insanity. Amen? Let me know there's a spirit of insanity that can be imparted to people. Would you like to see it? Okay, thank you. Let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44, 25. And I'm going to give you one other scripture with it. I could give you a lot on this. How many know that insanity has hit the nation? It's in the church, too. Praise God. Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever had to battle that spirit? Well, maybe somebody lays hands on you that had that spirit. Verse 25. That frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners. Notice the word diviners. It's divination. Maketh diviners, come on, mad. Madness. Okay? And that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. Now turn to Ezekiel 13, the first part of Ezekiel. Let's see this spirit here. Ezekiel 13. And we're talking about false prophets for a while. Praise God. Ezekiel 13. And look at verse 4. Should read the first three, but verse 4. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert, the dry place, desolate, death. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And we know that's intercession. Verse 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination. Notice, lying divination. How many know that's a lie? It's a spirit of lying. It's in the prophets here. And how many know if that divination is in a prophet and he lays hands on you, how many know that it may cause insanity to hit you? That's why we have to be cautious and careful who lays hands upon us. And notice, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. They have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Verse 7, have you not seen a vain vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? Now look at verse 10. What happened to verse 10? Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. I mean, no true prophet's not going to come speak in peace. Come on, he's going to speak the word of the Lord. He's going to tell you what God's saying. Amen? Hallelujah. We need some true prophets in the land, don't we, brethren? We need some true prophets in the land. Now let's go over to Revelation 12. Praise God. And I believe God's raising them up. Thank God for them. Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4. Now we touched this the other night, and we said that this woman, which is the church, the bride of Christ, is clothed with the sun, the moon's on her feet, 12 stars on her head. We said that sun-clothed woman, of course, is his bride. Now, but at the time of the bride being raised up and her giving birth to the man-child, right at the time the man-child coming forth in verse 5, something is taking place. Look in verse 3 and 4. There appeared another wonder or sign in heaven. And how many know if there's a sign, this sign, there's one sign, the woman, another sign here in heaven is a red dragon. Now, that means this heaven is impure. Isn't that right? It's imperfect. And how many know that in you and I, there's some imperfection? And we know that where God is, there's no imperfection. There's no impurities. Amen? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 25, the kingdom of God is like five wise and five, come on, foolish virgins. Amen? Wise and foolish. He said, that's in the kingdom. Where's the kingdom at? Come on. It's in us. Amen? So there's something in me. Amen? There's a mixture in me. There's a mixture in you. Now, final deliverance will come in Revelation 12. We talk about deliverance, and I believe in deliverance. I believe in having it today or tomorrow and so forth. But the final deliverance will be here in chapter 12 of Revelation. Because Satan's going to be cast out of heaven, causing the old serpent, devil, and all those titles. And I believe that that is literally being cast out of the people of God. Amen. All the darkness, amen, all the mixture, all demonic powers will finally and totally be put out here in Revelation 12. Anybody want to see it? And God spoke to me. I was in Plano, Texas recently. I was out, I wasn't praying. I was in the house. And he spoke to me and he said, there's four churches right here in Revelation 12. Number one, the sun-clothed woman's the bride. Number two, you have the moon church. Number three, you have the man-child church. And number four, you have Satan, the synagogue of Satan. Who heard that? And out of that moon church, we're coming out of that old order, aren't we? Huh? The old doctrines, old traditions, the old ways. And God's bringing us forth, amen, into the brideship. And out of brideship will come sonship. Amen?
Yes.
Thank God for all of them. All right, now, chapter 12. Now, look at verse 3. There appeared this wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them, come on, to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, how many has ever heard that that was when the devil fell and all these stars came down with him? Well, how many know the devil did fall? I said the devil fell. Jesus didn't make him a devil. He became a devil. But in the fall back there, sure, there was an apostasy. Sure, there were those that fell with him, those angels. But go over to Daniel 8. Praise God. And here Daniel sees the same picture John sees in Revelation 12. And he says in verse 9, he's talking about the little horn that Daniel spoke of, which I won't go into now. But verse 10, it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And notice what this little horn did. It cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Let me see that. Stars. We're not talking about the stars that twinkle in the sky. We're not talking even about Hollywood stars. We're talking about men and women of God who's lived in the heavenlies. And right before Jesus comes and the man-child is being raised up, they're going to fall out of the heavenlies back into the carnal earthly realm. Did you hear that? Amen. Now go to Isaiah 9. Hallelujah. And let's see what's going to cause this. Revelation 9. I'm sorry, Isaiah 9. I get revelation on the brain. Isaiah 9. Please look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel. Now let me ask you a question. Who's Israel today? I mean, old Galatians 6 says we are the Israel of God.
Yes.
Amen? All right. Then he said he's going to cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is something else. What is he? The tail. So the prophet is the tail ministry of Satan. That is those who teach lies. For the leaders of the people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Well, don't we see that in Revelation 12? There is the destruction in Revelation 12. Amen? The tail. Let's go back now. 12:4. It says his tail. Now, Satan's a spirit, isn't he? But yet, the tail of Satan is prophets who lie. And he said, the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Here's what I'm saying. There's an apostasy getting ready to take place and is taking place and will increase right up to this time of the man-child. But how many know God's going to move also? Come on, amen? There's a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God's going to save all that he can save in this end time. I believe that. And I believe many nations will come to God. And so I see two things happening. It's not just all negative. Now, let me show you this. Look in Matthew 14:14. I'll show you the positive here. 14:14 of Revelation. I looked and behold a white cloud. And upon the cloud, one set like unto the Son of Man. Notice, like the Son of Man. Having on his head a golden crown. He only has one crown here. He only has one crown in Revelation 6. But in Revelation 19, he's got many crowns. Why? Because in chapter 4, they threw their crowns before him. Amen? And saying, Lord, you're worthy. You are worthy. But here he has one crown. It's a golden crown. And in his hand, a sharp sickle. I may believe the Lord knows when to reap the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But who's he going to use? Come on. He's going to use... Remember what he said, let both the tares and the wheat what? Grow together until when, brethren? To harvest. Like, don't go out there and try to pluck up them tares before the harvest. Amen? All right. And then he's... But how many know that people's already being gathered into bundles already? Do you know that? All right, now watch this. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Do you know that in Revelation 14, you have the man child, you have the 144,000 before the throne. Then you have the reaping here of this great harvest here in verse 14 and 15 and 16. And then if you read on down, there is another reaping, come on, which is the wicked going into the wine press there and so forth. So there's actually three reapings here in chapter 14. Amen. Praise God. So there's a lot of things that are happening. So we do not want to be caught up in the ministry of false prophets. Now go to 2 Peter 2. I mean, know that any false ministry has a large following many times. 2 Peter 2. And just because someone has a large following doesn't mean he's of God always. Or he's doing what God told him to do. 2 Peter 2. In fact, we better be leery, really, in some areas. Or careful. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, that is, among Israel, even as there shall be false teachers. Where are they going to be at? Among you, the church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and here it is, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious or their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of, Brother Chuck. You see, brethren, the falling away, as I mentioned the other night, the word apostasy means defection from the truth. Turning from truth. How many know none of us have all the truth, but we can have a love for the truth. Isn't that right? Anybody want a love for the truth today? God, by the Holy Ghost, can put that love in your heart and in my heart. And he says, the way of the truth here shall be evil spoken of. Now look at verse 3. What else? Sister Coffey got on this yesterday, and I want to holler at 2 Peter 2 when she got in Revelation 18. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Praise God. So they're going to speak against the truth. Amen? And many is going to follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways. Well, if we're following the way of destruction, how many know we'll end up in destruction? Amen? Okay, praise God. We don't want to follow that, do we? Now go to Revelation 16. Praise you, Jesus. Revelation 16. Hallelujah. Lord, give us discernment today. Each one of us, Father. Let not a one in this room, not one of us be deceived, Lord. Okay. Revelation 16. Now, how many know that Jesus said in John 8, when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. He cannot speak the truth. We know that. But here in Revelation 16, we see in verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits, and this is the false trinity, brethren, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of who? The false prophet. And frogs, Brother Pittman told, when he comes here at times, he's told about these frogs, when he was taken out of the body and went to the gate of heaven, and he came back, and he was taken into a hospital room, and he saw a man and a woman. A man was seducing a woman in this particular hospital, and he saw this giant frog come up right between them, and then the frog went right into the man's head. And he said that frog, like creature, was speaks of perversion and the unclean and all those things, and some of them the most hated type spirits. And so we see this perverse spirits coming out of Satan's mouth. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now look at verse 14. For they are spirits of devils or demons. Notice though, working miracles. False miracles. Which go forth unto the kings of the earth. and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, let's see when this happening. When is this happening? Look at the next verse. When is this taking place? Behold, I come as a what? Thief. Blessed. Now, Jesus is not a thief, but he's creeping up on the church. Amen? He's coming suddenly, unexpectedly. Okay? And he said, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see a shame. And notice, and he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And I believe Armageddon is not only a spiritual warfare, but I believe it's a worldwide warfare. Okay, it's not just in one locality. How many know Armageddon is just not one place? It's going to be worldwide. Sure, it's like Babylon. You know, there was the old Babylon, but Babylon today is worldwide. Okay? Well, Armageddon, there was a place, you know, there in the Middle East where they had those wars, the little strip of ground. But this Armageddon is going to be worldwide, and it's going to be spiritually and naturally. How many know we're already in an Armageddon in the spirit? Come on. In warfare. And the next step will be the physical. And that will be in God's time. And so we see that these false miracles and false things are going to take place because it's Satan, it's the beast, and the false prophet themselves, these demons that are in them coming out into the kings of the earth, working these false things. Praise God. Now, let's go over to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to get on the positive here in just a minute. Let's go to 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry. It's Deuteronomy 13. I'll get it right here in a minute. Deuteronomy 13. Yes, this is it. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, please. It says, if there arise among you a prophet. Well, how many old prophets do rise among God's people? And a dreamer of dreams. And thank God for positive dreams and good dreams. How many know Joseph was a dreamer? But the problem is, he got in trouble telling his brethren his dreams, didn't he? And how many know sometimes we get in trouble for telling others our dreams? And some dreams you got to be careful with. Because how many know, especially if you try to interpret your own, that's where you get in trouble sometimes. I don't believe every dream, do you? I don't believe every vision. I believe they're the positive. There are those that are of God. But he said here, notice, he's a dreamer of dreams, and it gives you a sign or a wonder. You know, for some folks, they'd just, you know, they'd love that. And a sign or wonder come to pass. Man, it comes to pass at this time. The very thing he says. Well, we spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let us serve them. So it's going to lead you away from the true and the living God. Listen, there are people that have fallen for false things that's away from God today. Amen? Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. The Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then you look in verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord. How many know it's dangerous to turn people from God? You read Acts 13, there was a false prophet who was turning a man away from the God, hearing the gospel. And how many know that Paul smote that man with blindness for a season? Remember that? He did. Praise God. So we have to be very cautious, don't we? Amen. Now, 1 John 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test, prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone somewhere. Out into the world, which is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Now, I want you to notice, not only a false prophet has a false spirit, but he brings the spirit of the world to those he ministers to. How many know that the church has been invaded by these false prophets because the world's in the church? Huh? Mm-hmm. Verse 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. How many know that's in your flesh, in my flesh? And notice he didn't say had come in the flesh or even shall come, although that's true. But right now he said is come. That's present tense. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Do you know their preachers don't even believe that Christ must come in us before he comes again? I want to tell you something. That fullness has to come into a people. And it should be increasing daily in your life and my life. Okay? And then he said, it's already in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Notice that. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. And who else is going to hear them? But if we're living in the world, you think we're going to listen to them too? Huh? If we're wrapped up in the world, how many know we're going to be deceived too? That's what I'm saying. Now notice that verse. They are of the world, the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Therefore, they're going to speak the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life is going to listen to them. I mean, no, deliverance needs to come in right here. Huh? I mean, no, lust is a spirit that we all have to battle in various ways. Next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears not us. And hereby know we the spirit of truth. Come on, and the spirit of error. So, you've got many false prophets. You've got various spirits. You've got the spirit of the world. And you've got the spirit of error in this little few verses we read here. Praise God. Well, how many know he said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? The one that's in us will keep us. Come on, preserve us from these spirits. He'll preserve us from false prophets. He'll preserve us, amen, from the spirit of error, if we submit to him and allow him to do a work in us. Amen? In fact, most of the times we don't even know our hearts. We don't know what's in us sometimes. How many has ever had that? You get in a situation, all of a sudden something comes out. Amen? You didn't know it was in there. We all have, hadn't we? Praise God. So we have to have the Lord's help today. Praise God. Now, just as false is, well, it's in one other scripture, though. Revelation 19. Then we'll go to the positive. I said that a while ago. Revelation 19. Let's see what's going to happen to this false prophet ministry in verse 20. And Jesus is coming here in chapter 19 with his armies. In verse 20, the beast was taken. With him the false prophet and that wrought miracles before him. With which he deceived them, had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Who's going to be shouting? Because how many know they're going right there where their daddy is, Satan? Amen. And the remnant was slain, of course, with the sword and so forth. All right, now, I want to show you something else here. Turn with me now over to, Zechariah. Zechariah 3. I want to give you about four scriptures here and turn this thing around into something positive. How many know that a true prophet has a message from God? The Bible said in Haggai 1:13 that Haggai was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. I believe a prophet does more than just prophesy. I believe he has a message. He's bringing a message to the people of God from God that he's heard. Okay, now in Zechariah 3, we know that Zechariah saw a vision of Joshua, this high priest. Now, this was not the Joshua back, you know, back in the old, way back there in the Old Testament. Isn't that right? And he saw Joshua in verse 1. And as Joshua, the priest, was standing before the angel of the Lord. I want you to notice here. He stood before the angel of the Lord. And where did the high priest go into once a year? Come on, somebody tell me. Holy of Holies. And how many know that God is raising up a true priesthood today, a kingdom of priests, that Brother Miller was talking about the other night. And how many know God is going to not only take them into the Holy of Holies, but the Scripture says we're going to rule, those that make that group, is going to rule and reign, come on the earth. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, now, here's Joshua, the high priest, the one that would go into the Holy of Holies. And notice, he's standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him. Do you believe we have an arch enemy today that doesn't want us to go to the Holy of Holies? Amen? I believe with all my heart. And verse 2, the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee, and so forth. Verse 3, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now, this is not Jesus. Jesus never had any filthy garments on. But how many know we had some filthy garments on? And he's clothing us. Amen? And how many know the Holy Ghost is doing the clothing? He's our righteousness. Christ is our anointing. So we're wearing him. We're putting him on. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Isn't that right? And so these filthy garments was taken from him. And he said in verse 4, the latter part, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And then he put a mitre upon his head there. Notice that. And so they changed his garments. and they put the mitre on his head. Now, he's clothing us now. Praise God. He's clothing us with righteousness. Now, how many know that we receive imputed righteousness once we come to Christ? And then there's imparted righteousness, okay? How many know that there's a difference there, but I won't go into that. Then the mitre was put on his head, which speaks of the mind of Christ. And how many knows we are being clothed? God also is touching our minds. Amen? Our souls. Oh, I'd like to get on that. My, there's a lot there. All right, now look down in this chapter. Look at verse 8 now. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows. Notice, thou and thy fellows, so it's a company, that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. Literally, men of wonder. They are signs. They are a sign. Let me see that. They are a wonder. I think Amplified Translation says omen or something like that. But they're a sign. They're a wonder. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be what?
Seven eyes.
I mean, the seven eyes, seven horns, seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Amen?
Glory.
Not only was those lamps burning before the throne, but how many of those seven eyes were in that lamb that John saw in Revelation? Amen? As well as the seven horns. And when he opened those seals, that fullness was going to be imparted to the earth as the seals were being broken. I believe the seals have been broken. God's opening the seals, and God's fullness is going to come forth. Amen? As the mysteries of God and the seals of God are open today. Praise the Lord. But here are men wondered at. They're literally a wonder. They are a sign. Now go to Isaiah chapter 8. Blessed be the Lord God. Chapter 8 of the song of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 18. And this is quoted in the New Testament. I'm going to take you there in just a minute. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, I. Who is the I? Come on, who is it? It's the Lord, isn't it? Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and what else?
Wonders
in Israel. That was natural, but this is the day we're the Israel of God today. From the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Praise God. So he said, I and the children are for signs and wonders. Go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Thank you, Jesus. And in Hebrews 2, verse 10, we'll start right there. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory. That word bringing means leading. So he's leading many sons to glory. We've been justified. Come on, we're being sanctified. We shall be glorified. Isn't that right? Notice as sons to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them something. Come on, what are they called? Brethren. He's the firstborn among many. Brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? And again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Then he said, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now look at verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And I want to tell you that those brethren there are the sons of God. They are a sign. They are a wonder just like the Lord himself. Now go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 24, 27. I'll flip right to it. Praise God. Ezekiel 24, 27. 24, 27. Now, how many know Ezekiel was also called the Son of Man? I think over 90 times. In that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and no more dumb. And thou shalt be a sign unto them, Ezekiel, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now I want you to notice that. People who move in false signs, false miracles, and false wonders, they will not bring glory to Jesus and to the Lord. But those who are a sign and a wonder, God says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. It will point people to the Lord, not to man. Can you say amen? Now turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Praise you, Lord. And notice what it says here. In verse 3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Number one. Number two, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And three, the end of the world. Notice right in the middle, what will be the sign of your coming? We'll look down to verse 14. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, he answers that, first of all, in verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the what?
The end will come.
The end will come. Remember, they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world, the end of the age? And he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed into all the world for witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Then we go down to chapter 24 and look at verse 30. Jesus is coming after the tribulation. And verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, I don't know what all that means if we look in the natural or what, but I do believe this, but right before Jesus comes, the sign and the wonder people will be raised up, the sons of God, the overcomers. And I believe that will be one of the signs, amen, for at his coming, amen, things that's going to be happening to them, and I won't go into that now, but I do believe we're living in that time, that God is not only allowing us to see these false prophets, but he's also raising up true prophets, amen. Let's close with this in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. These are not two men. These are the sons of God. They are the overcomers. And many are going to lay their life down. And I know there's two groups. There are going to be people walking the life that will not die. There's going to be people laying their life down that will die. But how many know God can take care of any of us, wherever we are, whatever happens to us? Can you say amen? Revelation 11, verse 1, there was given me a reed like unto a rod. The angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Notice, the temple of God. And the altar, and them that worship there. And this is at the beginning of the tribulation. And I do believe there's 3.5 years left. I know others don't believe that, but I do. God showed me and spoke to me many times about this tribulation. And if we don't believe that this thing is coming, you might as well tear the book of Revelation out and throw it away. But I tell you, it's coming. Tribulation's coming upon this world. It's coming upon this nation. And God's raising up a people to stand. Amen? Amen. And to go through. Not to get bogged down, but to go through. Amen? By the power of God. Verse 2. The court that's without the temple, leave it out. Measure it not. Don't measure this in verse 2, this people. But in verse 1, they're measured. They've come up to the fullness of the stature of Christ through apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists. And so here in verse 2, there's somebody being trodden down for 42 months. The Bible here tells us here. And verse 3 says, I will give power unto my what? My two martyrs, my two witnesses, or my two prophets. It is the Spirit and the Word in a people. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They're in a flesh and blood body. And God's fullness has entered them. The tribulation is starting at this time. And God has a worshiping people. Hallelujah. They're called the temple of God. Amen. Anybody want to be part of it? And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before, notice, before, standing before the God of the earth. No religious and fleshly activity with them. They're waiting on God at God's orders and God's command. Just like Jesus, he waited for the Father. Remember when Lazarus died, everybody wanted him to go where he was. He waited. Remember that? And finally, at the Father's time, he went and raised him from the dead. And so they're waiting before the Lord. They're waiting on direction from God, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man hurt them, fire, notice this, fire proceeds where? Out of their mouth. Now, to have God's fire in your mouth, how many know you got to have a pure mouth? And if you got a pure mouth, you got a pure heart.
Yes.
You know what I was going to preach on yesterday morning? I was going to preach on taking the precious from the vial. In Jeremiah 15, to be God's mouth. Anybody want to be God's mouth?
Praise God.
We've got to allow God to purge us from all the vileness. Amen? Amen. Take that precious from the vial, it says. And then he said, you'll be my mouth. Right here, they are God's mouth. What's coming out of their mouth? Fire. Look in Revelation. Hold your place. Look in Revelation 14. Look at verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, no deceit, for they're without fault before the throne of God. God will use a people where there's no guile, where there's no deceit. Jesus had no guile in his mouth. 1 Peter 2. Nathanael, he said, you're an Israelite, Jesus said to him, in whom there is no guile. And the overcomers will be purged of all deceitfulness, all guile. And did you know something? Jesus had an open heaven. Nathanael had an open heaven. And the overcomers will have an open heaven.
Right.
Now, back here in chapter 11. Look at verse 5. Is that where I stopped? If any man will hurt them. Did they try to hurt Jesus? Did they try to kill Jesus? Sure. So will they hear of these people. If any man hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth, devoureth their enemies. If any man hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. I mean, Jeremiah had that fire within him. And they have power to shut the heavens and so forth. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. We don't want to be next to the fire like Peter did and warmed himself. We don't be just in the fire like the three Hebrews. We must become the fire.
Yes, amen.
But we'll never become the fire unless we allow God to purge us from all the vileness. And that which is not precious. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, brethren, yes, there's false prophets in the land. There is falseness of all kind in the land. But I tell you, in the midst of it, God is raising up a sign and wonder people.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. How many want to be part of it? Praise God. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for every one here again today, Lord. And I just pray that you'll preserve each one of us from all deception, Lord, and the falseness that we see around about us, Father God. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. Lord God, I pray if anyone in this place today has been hurt by the ministries, by false ministries, by false dreams and visions and miracles that were false, Lord, and was not of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to deliver them and heal them and set them free, Father. We ask God, not only do you do that, but God, we just ask you to help us to forgive those who have hurt us in any way, Father God. Jesus, we call upon you. We need you today. Wash us in your precious holy blood, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many in this meeting today has been under at one time, someone that was false and that hurt you deeply, and you need to be healed of it today? Just walk right up here and we're going to pray for you. Anyone here today, come right on. Don't hold back. I'm going to pray for you by the Spirit of God. Amen. Some of those hurts are still lingering, some of those things. We're going to pray for you. Amen. Brother Chuck, would you come up? And I'm going to just call a couple of people up here just to help me. Brother Chuck, where's Brother George at? Is he here, George, here? Okay. All right. Praise God. Yeah, there he is. Come up here, Brother George. I want you guys to help pray with me. Praise the Lord. You've been deeply hurt by some of these things we're talking about today. I want you to come and let us minister to you. Jack? Praise God. Jack, are you going to minister a song? I want you to help me. Praise God. Praise God. Let's reach our hands out to these precious people as we minister to them. Let's start over here, Brother Chuck. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.